That challenge is, and you said a mouth, not you, keep on going. Not a challenge for you. Challenge for us is I hear and what you said, I hear it all the time. Y'all hear it all the time. You say it all the time. I just didn't have time. All right, let me ask you a question. If let's just put it in a, the only way I can think of it is if I had that, what's the most awesome ride you can think of? Somebody call out a ride, a car, truck, something, SUV. Somebody call out something awesome, like maybe a Dodge Avenger or something. All right, Ford F-250. If I was asking you to read that scripture, and you guys just haven't had time. I really don't have time. I'll read it tonight. I don't have time tonight. If I said, but if you'll drive to Greensboro, you can have free an F-250, all expenses paid. Let me ask you a question. Could you find time to go to Greensboro to get that free truck? Okay. Jesus Christ gave himself freely. Take time. Make time. I'll be counseling people, and I'll say, I need you to read this to you, and when you come back next time, we'll talk about it. And the very first thing they'll tell me is, I didn't have time. And I'll go, well, did you watch Bonanza this week? Yes, I did. I watched every episode, watched one twice. Did you go to Walmart? Yes, I did. Shop till I dropped. So you didn't have time to read that little bitty thing I gave you, that paper. What's even worse is when you go to the detention center. And they're not going anywhere. And I need you to read this before I come back. And I come back and they tell me they didn't have time. Really? So, my challenge to you this year is take that out of your vocabulary. Take it out. Just take it out. Matter of fact, this year coming up is going to be our no excuse year. No excuse year. No excuse. Okay? We do have reasons, but not excuses, okay? Now, like DC's not here today because he's got a reason. The boy's about, he might even have pneumonia, I'm not sure, but when he called me yesterday, he went, I need you. And I said, what in the world has happened to you, son? Something about being in the Dominican Republic and coming back here must have got him. But so that is a reason, not an excuse, okay? So again, this year, I want you to take I didn't have time out of my vocabulary. Okay? It's a challenge. All right, just put it up somewhere. I didn't have time. Just take it out of my vocabulary. And not only that, but learn how to be extravagant with God. Wayne did that. Wayne told us that a couple years ago. Be extravagant with God. You cannot give him. You cannot do it. And you even challenged us that year. You want to do it again? Go ahead. There you go. Give it a shot. Speaking of which, there was a cheap husband who went Christmas shopping for his wife. I know none of y'all are cheap when it comes to your spouse. Some of the spouses are laughing. He was looking around in the ladies' perfumery. Anybody been in the ladies' perfumery lately? He was looking around at the ladies' perfumery in a store when a sales clerk asked if she could help, and he replied he was looking for something very special for his wife for Christmas. So she brought him a bottle of perfume, and he asked how much was it. She said $50. He said that was a little bit too much. Could she find something cheaper? So she returned with a smaller bottle, and again, he said how much, and she said $30. Again, he said, whoa, that's way too much. So next time she brought a very small bottle for $15. This time he was getting frustrated and told her he was wanting to see something really, really cheap. So the clerk returned and gave him something and said, if you want to see something really cheap, look at this. She handed him a mirror. Ain't got good. So remember, what we're taking out of our vocabulary this year, not just with church, with everything. I didn't have time, okay? That's everything, but especially with God and with his word. All right, here we go. This is cool. Here it goes. I'm going to take all the Advent, because you asked me last year, could I just encapsulate Advent? Last year, every week I did a different thing. So this time I'm going to do it a little bit different. I'm going to do it all at one time. So I'm going to talk about Advent. And so I'm even going to sit down, or try to, and we're going to talk about Advent. Now, among us, this is the very first Christmas gift. You know, we were watching something. My wife and I were watching something, and it hit me. We were watching a historical find where the kids were killed by Herod because he was trying to get to Jesus as a baby. And then it hit me, and my wife too, that Stephen wasn't the first Christian martyr. Those babies were. Thousands of babies were the first Christian martyrs. Wow. So here we go. John 1, 14. I got 14 through 18. I'll just go, where my Bible go? There it is. John chapter 1. Y'all get your Bibles out. John chapter 1. There was a very bad head-on collision on the way to Bath yesterday, and one of my former church members was killed. And her grandson is he's maimed bad. I mean, because it's bad. And the other guy that was in the other vehicle, it's bad. And so please just remember that accident at Bath yesterday. Just pray for everybody. Because it's bad enough any time of the year, but especially right here, right now, when you want to be gathering with your family, and instead you're gathering at the funeral home and at the hospital. Let's stand for the reading of the word. I got 1 John 14 through 18, but again, that's a clerical error on my part. My part is just John chapter 1, verse 14. Y'all say this with me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'll say that again. And the Word was made flesh. Stop. The Word. In the very beginning, when Matthew and Luke are writing about the beginning of Jesus, John comes toward the end of the first century, and he says, you know what? You're talking about when God became man. But let me just tell you about Him. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So let's go right back here to verse 14. And the Word spoke, the spoken part of it, when He was spoken, He, in His mouth, created everything. Wow, that's powerful. But He was made flesh, the Son of Man. The Son of God became the Son of Man and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of glory and truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God. We thank You and praise Your name. We thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. We thank You, God, that You sent Your Son, Lord, to be with us, Lord, to show us how to get it done, to show us how to live that life, to show us that it can be done. And I thank You, God, for all that You do for us, all You've done for us. And I thank You for this Christmas. There's a lot of people that are hurting. There's a lot of people that have lost a lot of things. And there's a lot of people, just like from yesterday, a lot of families were touched by that one accident. Lord, I ask You right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint. Also touch BJ. BJ is actually had a hip. His hip worked on. He fell off a truck. Lord, we thank You for healing his hip. Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray, and we thank You. Point to church said, amen. Y'all can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And no more excuses. Amen. My wife texted me and showed me a picture of she's sitting there with the computer in her lap and the cat sitting there watching Gyro. So, hey, Gyro. saying hello to my cat. Y'all never have anything like that, do you? Yeah. All right. So here we go. This is actually Advent, but in a different way, and it's the whole conclusion of Advent. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Here's another version. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That picture has just done something for me. I wasn't even going to do the verse twice, but when I saw that picture and saw the other picture, it was just impossible not for me not to put both of them up there. God became man. And when He became man, He didn't become man. All of a sudden, He come down, and He was some mighty warrior. He came down and was in that cradle, that manger. So the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This verse is actually a proclamation of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, you'll see in Philippians chapter 2, where He took Himself of no reputation, and He took on Himself the form of a man. He put aside His heavenliness, all that glory that He was around, and He came because He wanted to get down in the ditches where we are and get down in the dwellings where we are so He can say, I do know how you feel. It's a testament of His divine nature and His human nature. And not only was it a divine nature and human nature, but He dwelt among us. And it's an affirmation. It's an affirmation of His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, again, full of grace and truth. I just can't say that enough. Now the very first thing, and I was thinking about when we were singing Silent Night, Holy Night, when DC and Daniel were little, they argued on the way from church one day. I know your little youngins never argue on the way from church. And they were singing, and DC told Daniel, Daniel, you sang Silent Night wrong. And Daniel said, how did I sing it wrong? He said, because you said sleep in heavenly beans. Sleep in heavenly beans. He says, it's not beans. He said, well, sing it, DC. And DC said, sleep in heavenly peace. But you had to be there. Obviously. That was funnier than the thing. All right. First, there's the heart of hope. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Jesus Himself is the embodiment of hope. He came to earth. He lived among us. Not only to come to earth and live among us, but He's the one who endured the cross. He had conquered death. He rose again. He showed us that there's hope beyond our current circumstances. He showed us that there's hope beyond the grave. Just like yesterday, those people that were hurt so bad in that accident, and some even lost their life, there's still hope in the middle of all this because we have a great God that we serve. He didn't say we wouldn't go through anything, but He said, if you're my child, you won't go through it by yourself. And that's reassuring. Amen? So first, Jesus is the embodiment of hope. And this hope is just not a wish, it's not a dream, but it is a desire for things, not just a desire for things to get better, but it can sustain us through the darkest times. It can help us in the most difficult challenges of our life. This hope is not just for the future, but it's for right now. It's a hope that can transform our lives. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about when I say a hope that transforms your life? Every time I think about that, I've heard it, y'all heard me say it before. When my grandmama died, she had two children, my mama and her sister. And they both knew that grandmama was dying, and they knew it was coming soon. And when grandma died, my mama was a strong Christian. And during the whole thing, I watched her cry a lot. But I watched her hold on to Jesus and get through it. in a very powerful way. But her sister really wasn't that strong of a Christian at the time. And I watched her, through pills, try to get through it. One was fully conscious, helping out, doing all kinds of things, my mama. But her sister was kind of out of it. And the reason is, mama had God to hold on to. And God helped her through it all and walked with her through it all the way. My mama taught me a very valuable lesson. I was 17 years old. And my mama taught me a lesson that I will never in my entire life forget. That no matter how bad the circumstances, if you've got God, there's a hope. And that hope is beyond the grave. And this hope is not just for us. It's for the whole world. It can bring healing. Listen carefully. It can bring healing to the broken. It can bring reconciliation to the divided. It can bring justice to the unjust, mercy to the merciless, and grace to the graceless. And so it's a very, very powerful thing. And it's not just a concept. It's a person. Jesus Christ. He is the hope that does not disappoint. He is the hope that does not fade. He is the hope that does not fail. So not only is that the heart of hope, but it's the heart of love. Secondly, it depends on how you want to put it, because it depends on how the candles are, but I'm just going to say the heart of love. And you can put it wherever week you want, but it's there. Love that is unconditional, sacrificial, and everlasting. That's a very powerful love. Unconditional love. Christ loved me when I was unlovable. Christ has loved me times when I know I wasn't lovable, and I'm pretty sure everybody else around would have just got rid of me, but not Christ. And it was sacrificial, because he did what it took to take care of me, which was take that cross. It's not based on our performance or our worthiness. I can't tell people enough of this. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on how good you do. It's based on him. It's freely given, and it's lavished upon us, and it's demonstrated in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. It accepts us. We as we are, it accepts us just as we are. I hear people all the time say, I ask them, say, are you ready to come to church? And I go, I got to get better before I can get to church. I used to say it. And I found out it weren't going because I couldn't get better. It's amazing how when I gave it to God, I got better. Going to church was the answer. So it transforms us into the image of Christ. It compels us to love God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. It even helps us to love some unlovable people. Wow. It's very, very amazing. The love of Jesus is a love that compels us to action. It's just not a, I love you. It's a, come here, let me help you. Let me show you something. Help me to serve. Help me. What can I do to serve you? What can I do to help you? And you just live selfishly. Wow. That is so, so, so powerful. It's also the heart of joy. I was looking at a house this morning. I was watching Fox News. If y'all are watching, you saw it. The man decorates on the outside of his house all year. I mean, every year, but the inside of his house, he had 40 Christmas trees. And I can't remember how many lights. It was like 40,000 lights. Each room was a different room. It looked like a winter wonderland. And he said, people come in just to walk in. He said, when they walk in, they can't believe what they're seeing. And they walked through the house, and I was watching it. Wow, I felt like I didn't know where I was going. He said they called him the Christmas man. I can see why. I would never put that much in my house. Lord have mercy. The cats would take it down. The dogs would take it down. I would trip over them. I'd fall on them. No, but he did, and it was amazing. But it brought joy, but we got to understand something. Happiness is brought from our celebration and our decoration. But joy is in that manger. I get happy when I see the twinkling lights. I see festive decorations. Some people say it's joyful. And yes, yeah, joyful. But if you look at the real word for joy in the Greek, it actually brings happiness. Because joy is found in that manger. That's where joy is at. It's the embodiment of joy and of love. A joy that surpasses mere happiness. Not dependent upon our circumstances or our feelings. It's grounded in a person and the work of Jesus Christ. There's a joy that is a gift from God that fills our hearts. It overflows into our lives. His joy will sustain you and strengthen you. It sustains us in times of sorrow and strengthens us in times of weakness. And I can't help but stop and think about, here's Bethany. She's in the cancer unit. She's really doing bad. And everybody was, all y'all were loving and sending all this candy to her because I was allergic to flowers. And she was glad I was allergic to flowers. And I'd get her in a wheelchair when she could do it. I'd put her in a wheelchair and push her around so she could give candy to the staff and to other people that were there. Wow. That was something. And she would tell the nurses, anytime, they would call little sis. And they'd come in, how you doing, little sis? And she'd say, I got more candy. Anytime you need any, you come in. And I'd be in the bed or the chair beside Bethany's bed, or Linda would be in that chair. And in the middle of the night, we'd hear something going on. And those nurses would be coming in and getting them candy. And in the morning, they'd come and tell her, we got some candy last night. She goes, good. Don't forget. Get some more tonight. It's okay. And I love y'all. It was just amazing to watch that. So I saw her sustained, and I saw her strengthened, no matter how bad it got. It gives us hope in times of desperation and peace in times of turmoil. It enables us to rejoice in the Lord always, even in the midst of trials and tribulation. And it's a joy of Jesus. The joy Jesus has is contagious. It spreads to others. I should try this. Remember when we had a mall in Washington? I would go down one end of the mall, and I'd try this, and I would frown all the way down the mall. And people would come up to me, and they're going, and I'd frown, and there we go. All the way to the other end, people, the smiles would go off their face, and they would just start frowning. So when I come back the other way, I'd start smiling, and I smiled all the way back. And when I smiled all the way back, I found people that were frowning would start smiling because it was contagious. You ought to try it sometime. You say, I can't make a difference. Try that. Just try that and see what kind of difference you can make. Your joy is contagious. It's a joy that transforms lives, it changes hearts, it impacts the entire world. Next is a heart of peace. I'm not going to keep you long because I just wanted to. This is, again, Advent, that manger. This is what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. There's the heart of peace, not mere absence of conflict, not a temporary respite from the storms of life. It transcends our circumstances. It anchors us. Our souls when everything's going crazy, just like yesterday. Man, that was some crazy stuff going on down there at that wreck. Crazy, crazy. And then for hours in the emergency room. But God's peace was still present. And even facing death and facing all this stuff, God's peace was present. And you could sense there wasn't happiness, but there was joy. And that joy was there from Jesus Christ. So, the heart of peace is not mere absence of conflict. Peace is beautifully encapsulated in John 14:27. Read it. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, love is not contingent on our circumstances. It is rooted in His unchanging character, and it's unfailing. And peace is not rooted in our circumstances. Jesus is not merely a peace, offering peace that is external or superficial. It permeates every aspect of our lives. It brings wholeness. It brings harmony. It calms our fears. It soothes our anxieties. It brings rest to our weary souls. This peace is an active peace. It actively guards our hearts. It actively guards our minds. Matter of fact, if you think about it, if you look at it, when it says in Philippians 4:7, it is a peace that actively reconciles us to God. And Colossians 1:20 says it is a peace that actively brings unity and harmony. It says, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and minds. That is a military term. It means that His peace is marching like a garrison and watching out and taking out the peace robbers in your life. It's a little bit of Bible study here. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word peace that's used in the Nativity story is eirene, which means to join. It means to bind together with that which has been separated. It's a peace that joins us to God. It's a peace that binds us together in unity and harmony. And it can restore our relationship with God, and it can restore our relationship with each other. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been justified through faith. It did not say justified through our works. Justified through faith, and I believe it. Here's a peace that Jesus offers. It's not just a feeling of tranquility, but a state of being at peace with God, a state of being justified and reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:7, Paul writes, and the peace, eirene of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here, the peace of God offers not just a human peace, but a divine peace, a peace that transcends everything we can think, a peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That heart of peace is steadfast, it's unchanging. In the midst of this turbulent world, we find peace, not a fleeting emotion, but a transient state of mind. We're grounded in His love, anchored in His promises, and secured in His victory. It calms us and it comforts us. In the midst of our fears and anxieties, we find a peace that is calming and comforting, not a mere distraction or a temporary escape. It's genuine, it's long-lasting, it calms us, it soothes us, it rests our weary souls. And it empowers and it liberates. In the midst of our struggles and trials, it's empowering and liberating. How many have been at the death of a loved one and watched them take their last breath? And you've been preparing for it for some time. But when it happens, you find out you're not as prepared for it as you thought you were. And the very first thing that happens is you're overwhelmed. But if you're trusting in His peace, it's amazing how that overwhelming feeling lowers as God's peace is coming in. It's an amazing, amazing feeling. It's a peace, not a mere resignation or a passive acceptance, but it's Christ in his dynamic, transformative peace. And when people see that peace, they want to know what's going on. I remember telling you about a Procter & Gamble. When God finally gave me that peace, it was amazing. And we were having some rough times at work, and I was having some rough times with my family. And God gave me that peace. As I was walking around and all those problems at work, and knowing I have problems at the house, I was still smiling and loving God. And I was being a witness for God, and I was testifying for him. And one day on third shift, one night on third shift, I went in the break room, and one of the guys from the line walked in. It was just me and him, and he goes, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I mean, really talk to you." I said, "Sure." I thought he was going to ask me about Jesus. You know what he asked me? He said, "Who's your dealer?" I said, "Excuse me." He said, "Who's your dealer?" I said, "I'm still not quite understanding. Why do you think I got a dealer?" He said, "Because there's no way in the world somebody can walk through all this mess and knowing you got mess at the house and walk around and be this happy and joyful all the time." He says, "You're taking some powerful stuff, and I need to find out who your dealer is because I want some of them." And so at the moment, I said, I got you. I said, "He's JC." And he said, JC, is he on Second Street? I said, "No." He says, "Is he on Fifth Street?" I said, "No." I said, "Well," he said, "where is he?" I said, "He's right here, right now." He looking around. I said, "Jesus Christ. He's the reason I can smile in all this mess. He's the reason I can have this joy in all this mess. He's the reason I can have this joy. Daniel was so sick. He's the reason I got this joy while Daniel's being so sick and all this stuff's going on. He's the reason." And he said, "Oh, come on, man. It's got to be something else." And I said, "I promise you, it's nothing in this world or a dealer can give you." If you ever wondered how far the Lord would go to make sure you were his own, peer down into the manger, look up into the cross, and there's your answer. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times. But it means he's walking through it every step of the way with you. So, here it is. We've explored the heart of faith, the heart of hope, the heart of peace, joy, and love, and we know it's Jesus Christ. We've journeyed through the scriptures. We've been reminded of the miracle of grace that we are and his transformative power of his love and his mercy in our lives. Get ready. We, in all our imperfections, are so deeply loved by a perfect God. Wow. Think about that for a minute. In all of our imperfections, we are loved by a perfect God. Wow. In all of our shortcomings, we're pursued so relentlessly by a God who lacks nothing. We all in our brokenness are made whole by a God who is the epitome of wholeness. That's the kind of God we serve. One who loves us in spite of us. He loves us. Brandon, come up here and play something. Christmas is coming, whether you like it or not. I was in the bank the other day, and there was guys behind me, and we were waiting to get waited on, and one guy come in and said to the other guy, said, "Are you ready for Christmas?" Another guy says, "Well, I got some more shopping to do, and I got this, blah, blah, blah." Another guy says, "Well, I'm trying to get ready." And another guy said, "Are you sure you're ready for Christmas?" And I just turned around. You know, I don't normally do this. I turned around, and I said, "Can I ask y'all guys a question?" And he said, "Sure." I said, "What does it really mean when you say, 'Are you ready for Christmas?'" Now, so I've been asked that question 100 times in the last couple of weeks. What does it really mean? Are you ready? Christmas. Everybody got quiet. And I said, it's not about making sure you got all the right presents and the right number of presents. It's not about you got the meals all planned and you got everybody invited, blah, blah, blah. I said, being ready for Christmas is to be ready to celebrate the greatest event in history. Because without Christmas, there could be no Calvary. And it's amazing. Some just smiled. Some held their head down. But nobody said any more. So I'm going to ask y'all, are you ready for Christmas? I'm not talking about have you got everything perfect. Are you ready to worship and thank God for the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Like I said last night, that little screen on television had the fireplace going. And it was just playing Silent Night, O Come All You Faithful and stuff. And it was just so powerful. It drew tears. It was just so powerful. And as it started permeating through me, I actually said, now I'm ready for Christmas, God. Wow. Everybody stand. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody looking around. If you're here today, and I'm not going to ask, are you ready for Christmas? I'm going to ask, are you ready for Jesus to come back? If you're here today and I say, are you ready for Jesus to come back? And you go, whoa, I'm not quite ready. You're the one I'm talking to right now. Nobody looking around. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you say, I'm not sure I'm ready for him to come back again, would you put that hand up? Thank you for being so honest. Maybe you're here and that joy that Christmas brings wow. You would honestly say, I don't have that joy. I've just got a lot of frustration because I can't get this and can't do that and this is not happening and they're not lining up and all this. I'm just frustrated. And you really want God to help you get that joy back. Well, you're ready to go to heaven, but that joy is just not there because of all the activities and all the stuff that's forced upon us. And the schedules, and that joy just isn't there like you think it should be. Nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put the hand up and say, I really need God to help me with my joy. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. We're going to pray right now. And we're going to ask God. We're all going to rededicate ourselves, and we're all going to ask God to restore that joy. Because there's something special about that joy that nothing can take from you. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can take this joy from you. It's something that God has given you. And nothing in this world can take it from you. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. And today, for the very first time, let me really thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, help me line up with you. Let my life line up with you. And Lord, I rededicate my life to you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to restore my joy, to help me not get frustrated with all the goings on. Let me find that true joy. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God's got you. We'll meet again. We got one more Sunday before. Well, guess what? Next time we meet, we got one more Sunday in 2024, and then it's 2025. And I've been thinking about things, 2025, the year to thrive, and all that stuff. And I said, no, just no more excuses. No more excuses. It's plain and simple. That's not fancy. That's got a whole. It'd be nice to have a nice little theme, but just no more excuses. And if we could all live our life that way, it's amazing in all areas of our life how our life would do so much better in every area, our family, our work, our church, our own spiritual life with God. If we could live in a no-excuse zone, wow, that would be powerful. So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then, Brother Doug, you dismiss us in prayer. I want y'all to have an awesome, awesome, awesome Christmas, and thank God for his joy. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.